Why has the cost of an abortion not changed in three decades? Find out next on Gospel of Life. I'm Father Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. We're here with Janet Morana, our Associate Director, and also Mark Crutcher, President and Founder of Life Dynamics. We tape these programs from his offices in Denton, Texas. Mark, thanks for having us again.
Thank you, sir.
Janet, welcome. Let's talk about the economic aspects of abortion. Now, a lot of people, first of all, they look at abortion as an issue, as a dispute, a debate, viewpoints, concepts, beliefs. But it's really an industry. And when people start to look at it as an industry and start to look at especially some of the financial angles of it and how the supporters of abortion try to manipulate the financial situation in our country, a lot of things fall into place that weren't clear before or that were impossible to understand unless you see abortion as an industry.
Yeah, and the curious thing is that when you look at abortion, for example, in the early days of abortion, within less than a year after abortion became legal, the U.S. government went out and did a study on what the average cost of an abortion was at a freestanding abortion clinic. Mm-hmm. Nationwide, they found it was between $325 and $350.
Right.
That was in 1973. Today, that's very little different than what it was then. And the fundamental question here is, we know these people are avaricious. We know they are money motivated. The abortion industry. They're not going to artificially keep prices down low because they're benevolent.
Right.
There's got to be a reason why they have not been able to raise prices in 35 years or 36 years. And from a marketing standpoint, it's usually because you have a product that the demand for it is very marginal. Now, the abortion industry has spent the last 36 years telling everybody that, oh, if you outlaw abortion, women are going to have them anyway, and as if women will crawl through hell on broken glass to get an abortion if they're pregnant and don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
If that were the case, they could have raised prices.
They could have, and they would have.
And they would have raised prices. But they didn't. And what it tells you is that they understand that the decision to have an abortion is very marginal. And I've talked to many, many post-aborted women, as both of you have, and I can't tell you the number of them who said, I was hoping someone would give me an excuse not to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had one of them one day say, I was sitting in the waiting room praying that somehow somebody would tell me the reason that I don't need to do this. It's not a locked in granite decision.
No,
it's
absolutely.
Very marginal.
If anything, it's marginal. It's ambivalent.
Right.
I mean, I know somebody who literally changed her mind about having an abortion because she got lost on the way to the clinic.
Right.
Made
exactly.
A wrong turn. Oh, I guess that's a reason not to do it.
Right. And there have been studies that have shown that if you put any sort of impediment between a woman and the abortion clinic, if it's just another 10 miles, it will slow down the abortion rate.
Which is why the abortion industry,
right.
as we see, is so adamantly against any kind of clinic regulations,
right.
parental involvement laws, informed consent, waiting periods. They know that all those things, it's going to impact their business.
Right. It has impacted their business. It's impacted it for the last 36 years. And several years ago, one of the abortionists in Colorado, Warren Hearn, was talking about this issue of the state was considering requiring that all abortions have sonograms done.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this was going to increase the price of an abortion about $25. And he said, when we increase the price of abortion $25, our patient load plummets.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, so he's admitting that they've been lying all these years
yes.
about this crawl through hell on broken glass to have an abortion. But now this enters the political arena, now, especially now that we're in a situation where we've got a pro-abort president who's talking about national health care. I think that the big issue, and I wrote about this well before the election, I think the big issue for the pro-aborts was not, contrary to what everybody thinks, the Supreme Court. That's important to them,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't the big
they
issue.
Use it
no.
as a fundraising
right.
thing.
They use that as a fundraising
yeah.
tool. The big issue was national health care. They want to see national health care installed that will pay for elective abortion. Because by doing that, then the cost to the ultimate consumer is perceived to be zero, when in reality the price is going to go from $350 to $500, which is what it is right now, to $3,500 to $5,000. It'll go up at least tenfold. You can count on that. And we know that's true because we've seen that in the private insurance industry, where private insurance companies are charged exponentially more for the same abortion that a patient can walk in and buy for $350. So we know that that's going to be that's the standard that they're going to use. And so what they're trying to do is to get national health care to pay for abortion in order to take away this marginal aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what it will do. And this is an extraordinarily dangerous situation. And this is one of these places where the pro-life movement really needs to be paying attention. If national health care comes up, we better go to the mat mm-hmm. over the question of whether it will pay for elective abortion.
Right.
Because this is going to turn everything around. And because one of the things that we know, Father Frank, we've talked about this on previous shows, that since 1992, two-thirds of the abortion clinics in this country are closed.
Yeah.
One of the reasons for that is, believe it or not, the pro-lifers have a hard time believing this, but it's a fact, they're not profitable. Abortion is not profitable. If you think about it in the standpoint of any other medical procedure that you could get in 1973 when abortion was legalized for $350, what does it cost today? It's $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't get your teeth cleaned hardly for $350, but you can still buy an abortion.
Yeah.
And so there is no money, in my view, in a $350 medical procedure in 2009. It's just not there. The money in the abortion industry is in birth control and in treatment for STDs,
yes.
which are then charged under either Title 10 or charged the federal government or Medicaid or whatever. That's where the big money is.
Right.
And what this national health care paying for abortion will do is it'll make abortion profitable the way it was back in 1973. In 73, it was very profitable. But when you can't increase your prices for 36 years, you can't stay profitable. There's no way.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole dynamic is about right now. And this is something the pro-life movement really needs to be riding herd over.
Well, that's right, because we're often not paying attention to these sort of dynamics. You know, a lot of people are thinking, well, you know, is it legal or illegal? Does this person want to make it legal or illegal? These are dynamics that are far beyond that, and it's important to understand them.
Yeah, this thing is driven by money. That's what people need to understand. So if you you can talk to pro-lifers, Janet. I know you have as you go out and talk, and they'll say, "Oh yeah, I agree that it's all driven by money." But then they don't study how the money works,
how the flow of the money happens,
how it works. Yeah, exactly.
And
most people do think that Planned Parenthood, let's take them for example, that they say, "Oh well, they make most of their money off abortions," and like we're just saying, that's not where most of their money is.
Right.
They're getting it through Title 10, they're giving out free birth control, free STD tests, free pregnancy tests, and they're getting funded by the government to do that. That's most of their profits is right there.
Well, if you'll notice, Janet, when you debate with these people about Planned Parenthood, they'll say, "Oh, listen, most Planned Parenthood facilities don't do abortions."
I know.
The reason that they don't is because it's not profitable.
Right.
If it were profitable,
they would be doing it.
What they do is they do the STD treatments and they do the birth control because that's where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment federal health care pays for elective abortion, I promise you every Planned Parenthood in this country will start becoming medical and start doing elective abortions because that's a big profit center.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be paying attention to.
As a matter of fact, Planned Parenthood currently, where they're expanding the most is what they call these satellite clinics, mm-hmm. where, like you're saying, they don't do abortions. They
right.
just do all this other stuff. And they'll have one parent, Planned Parenthood, maybe, an hour or an hour and a half from that satellite place. And that's where they'll refer the abortions to. But they'll have maybe 10 satellite offices. I was out in New Mexico not long ago where they had a whole bunch of Planned Parenthood satellites mm-hmm. and just one main place over about an hour and a half away that actually performed abortions, and that's what they're doing.
But again, the minute abortion becomes paid for with federal dollars,
then they'll all be doing it.
Every one of them be doing it because the money will just be pouring in.
Well, sure, you go from $350 to $3,500.
Right.
It's not hard to figure that out.
Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out.
Right.
It's true.
Well, this is very fascinating. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about more of these dynamics of abortion. So, friends, please stay with us here on Gospel of Life. We'll be right back.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
Now you can make a difference in the lives of the unborn for as little as $12. Make your donation today and we'll send you a copy of the pro-life masterpiece, Earth's Trash, Heaven's Treasure. Vivid imagery and striking colors come together in a painting that captures the essence of eternal hope for the unborn. You'll help change the hearts and lives of people everywhere. Plus, you'll have a treasured piece of artwork that serves as a daily reminder of the beauty of precious living souls. Make your donation today.
Well, thank you for staying with us. Mark Crutcher, president and founder of Life Dynamics, is here with us today. And Janet Marana, our associate director. And we've been talking about some very interesting things about the economics of abortion. But remind our viewers, Planned Parenthood, what kind of money they're taking. And they issue these reports periodically. And, of course, we get a hold of them and, you know, read through them. They have reports on what the business they've done and then looking forward to the future. And we know that we have a number of friends in Congress who every year are bringing up the issue. And a lot of our viewers ask about it, too. Bringing up the issue of why should this corrupt organization, and not just morally corrupt, but corrupt in other ways, continue to receive federal dollars? Let's defund this organization.
Yeah, it's obscene. The amount of money that they get in from private donations, large corporations and the eugenics movement in general, is outrageous. But what's really, in my view, criminal is the money they take in from the federal government. I'll just use 2006. It's the last year that we have the numbers for both private donations and government donations. In 2006, Planned Parenthood made $60 million in profit now, and got $350 million from the federal government. Now, in this year, 2009, that money has gone up. Believe it or not, funding to Planned Parenthood has gone up went up under George Bush over what it was under Bill Clinton. They are getting currently, as you and I speak, approximately $1 million, in excess of $1 million a day from the federal government. Think about that. Now, we've got all these economic problems out here, and we've got people that, you know, we've got all these people saying, well, we got people that don't have basic health care. They have a toothache. They can't go to the doctor, whatever. And yet we're giving Planned Parenthood, the number one abortion profiteer in the country, we're giving them $1 million a day, over $1 million a day. They take money out of your paycheck and out of your paycheck and out of mine to give it to these people. And they're making millions of dollars in profit. It's obscene what's happening here. And people, again, we talked about it earlier, people understand, the pro-lifers seem to understand that this is all about money, but then they don't understand how the money works. And when you start looking at it, you start getting into these little nuances, like why do they want national health care? Why do they do this? Why do they do this over here? If you will follow the money trail, you remember that's what we learned back in Watergate. Remember that?
Yeah.
They said, follow the money trail. You can figure out anything that happens in American politics.
Mm-hmm.
That is nowhere more true than it is in the abortion industry. Anything you can't understand, start looking at the financial end of it, and you'll figure it out very, very quickly, I guarantee you.
You know, this is true in the political races where people don't understand, you know, why is this politician so tied in with the abortion industry? And the flow of money going into his political campaign is very often coming out of those abortion clinics.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at the numbers, for example, of people in the Obama administration that aren't just pro-aborts, but they came right out of the abortion industry.
Right.
I mean, people from Planned Parenthood, people from the National Abortion Rights Action League, these are people that are coming, that he's plucked directly out of the abortion industry. And you know, he's talked about all this, we got to have diversity and inclusion. What pro-lifers have been included? Can y'all name any of those?
Well, I don't think they contacted any of us our resumes.
No, or will be included in the future. You know, I mean, Obama sucked in Rick Warren to kind of give him political cover. With the Christians out there,
mm-hmm.
But who in his administration fits this mode of this inclusion and diversity that we talked about?
Nobody.
Where are the pro-lifers? There aren't any.
Mm-hmm.
And but you need to follow the money. If you'll follow the money and you start understanding, for example, why they haven't, like we talked about before, why haven't they raised prices? You know, I've raised that question before to people who hadn't studied, and they'll say, well, I never really thought about it, but you're right. They haven't. I know they haven't.
Right.
But why haven't they raised prices? It's because they can't. Well, why can't they? They can't because it's a marginal decision. Well, that exposes one of the biggest lies they tell. So once we understand that, then we can start exposing the things that they say.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Jenna, the testimonies of the women that have had abortions is important in this regard, too, because they testify to the ambivalence. They testify to how marginal the decision was.
Yeah,
not their decision,
no.
Somebody else's decision.
Exactly.
Usually a male.
Yeah. Yes. Most of the women, if you read the testimonies, which they can on our website, if they go to silentnomoreawareness.org, we have one of the largest collections of testimonies they can read, listen to, or view on video.
Yes.
You listen to these decisions. I mean, some of them, it was like my parents were going to kick me out of the house, so is that her decision? No. I was going to get thrown out of school. My husband told me we can't have any more children. 3 or 4 or 5 children is enough. Whatever the number was, pick the story. I'll leave you if you don't have an abortion. I mean, this is not where these girls are just walking in and, you know, but they're, I'm getting my freedom of choice here, my right, my body, my choice. No, they're being pressured by all these other people in their, you know, family circle to go down that path. I mean, some people were pressured by employers, you know, told them, well, if you're pregnant, we're going to just have to let you go.
You're gone. Janet, you hit on something that's really important here, because you say they don't come out, you know, flexing their muscles, I'm empowered, you know, I am woman,
right.
Hear me roar, when they're abortionist. I've often heard these pro-aborts talk about empowering women and that
right.
we need to empower women. And I will challenge anyone, go stand outside of any abortion clinic. Don't pick it. Don't protest. Sit in your car if you want to.
Right.
Watch the women going in and coming out. Right. And point to me the one that looks like she's been empowered.
Right.
What you're looking at is the most beat down, subservient women in our society mm-hmm. are the ones who are going into those abortion clinics and coming out. Without exception.
That's right.
And they
That's
come
right.
out not like looking up going, yes,
right.
thank God, hallelujah. It's eyes down,
right.
sad face. Depressed. They're walking out of there, like, you know, depressed and upset. Some of them tears in their eyes.
They didn't want to be there to begin with.
They didn't want to be there to begin with.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
So, I mean, this is not women's rights or for women. It's really, really empowering men.
Yes,
to be irresponsible.
That's
what it's doing.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, thank you both. It's good to collaborate with you. We look forward to progress in these coming years, because our movement continues to go forward no matter what the political obstacles are. And that's largely thanks to you, brothers and sisters, all of you in your local communities, closing those abortion centers, bringing about pro-life education in your communities, whatever any of you are doing to advance the cause of life. Let's continue to increase those efforts. Let's continue to be in contact with one another, contact with Life Dynamics, with Gospel Life Ministries, Priests for Life. Go to ProLifeAmerica.com, and you'll see the one place where you can go to find entry into all these different ministries, all these different projects and programs and ways that you can be involved. Speaking of that, after our break, we'll have our action segment, so please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ, and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. One thing every believer can do to stop abortion is to pray that it stop. But we want to talk today about a very focused and specific way to do that and to invite others to do it. Janet, prayercampaign.org is our prayer website. Let's talk about how we use that and what we invite believers to do.
Well, first of all, we have two practical prayers up there that can be said every day throughout the year. That's the prayer to end abortion and the prayer for the closing of an abortion mill. In addition to those prayers being up on our website, we have prayer cards with those prayers on them for the end to abortion and the closing of the mill. And we will send it to them absolutely free of charge. And then they could take those prayer cards and tape them inside the hymn books in their church. I know many churches, what they do now as part of their church service, they say that prayer at the end of every service so that everyone is aware.
It can be said in church, it can be said in the family, it can be said in pro-life groups, in schools, and, of course, by individuals. But let's talk about specifically, first of all, the prayer to end abortion every day is the one we want every believer to say every day. Because if we get people saying it every day, then you have people thinking about abortion every day, and they're going to look to do other things as well. So it's going to draw them in, it's going to get them involved. And the prayer doesn't simply ask God to end abortion. It is a prayer of commitment that the individual will speak up and do things to protect the unborn. Now, the other prayer you mentioned is if there is a specific abortion mill in one's community, it enables them as individuals, families, or as an entire church congregation, it enables them to focus in on that place and pray for the conversion and closing of that particular killing center.
Right. When you say the pray for the conversion now, Father, we're talking about the abortionist himself, but we're also talking about the conversion of all the people who work inside that abortion clinic.
That's right.
You know, and of course, obviously, then praying for the men and women who are going there to destroy their children, praying for their conversion of heart also.
Right.
Now, like you had said, each person can have those prayer cards. I know people that keep them on their night table so that they can say that prayer when they get up in the morning or before they go to bed at night. Someone told me that they have it taped to their medicine cabinet in their bathroom so that as they're brushing their teeth, they say that prayer. Because people say, oh, where am I going to have the time to add this to my prayer life with all the other prayers I say? I know someone, while they brush their teeth, they say their prayers. But like I said, the pastors, we really need the ministers to get involved and use those prayers in their church services. But in addition, on the website, prayercampaign.org, we post different prayers every month that also coordinate with the theme. So, for example, around election season, we'll have prayers for the election. Thanksgiving, we'll have a special prayer for Thanksgiving. When it gets to the Christmas season and to the new year, what better time to have a special prayer for life as you start a new year? You know, I know very often, Father, you preached about the idea that a new year represents that God gives you a book with empty pages to write on. And what better way to have a focused prayer to say as you start that new year?
Mm-hmm. On the prayercampaign.org website, people can let us know that they've signed up to do this. And that also helps, too. It helps us to be then in communication if they wish. Otherwise, they can just download the prayer and use it in the different ways that you've described.
That's right.
Prayer is a foundation of everything that we do, obviously. It's not a substitute for doing other things. In fact, when we pray, we are going to be led into more action. And that's certainly what we hope will happen here.
That's right.
Thanks very much, Janet. Friends, we ask you to promote not only prayercampaign.org on your websites and to your email lists and in your newsletters, but also gospeloflife.com, which is our ministry website. We ask you to promote this program. And may we ask you also for your financial support, because this ministry relies completely on believers like you to keep it going. We rely on you to be able to produce these programs, to be able to travel the nation, do the pro-life work that we do, send out the literature that we send. Go to gospeloflife.com. You'll be able to either send us checks in support of this work or donate online and pledge to donate monthly if you so desire. Our pastoral team is also willing to come to your community. Let us know if you'd like that to happen, and we'll see you again next week.
You are looking at the face of an unborn child, 25 and a half weeks into pregnancy. This child can be legally killed by abortion in America. As this ad from the Yellow Pages proves, some abortion clinics sell abortions up to 28 weeks. Abortion kills living children whose hearts are beating and whose bodily organs are all in place. Abortion. Haven't we gone too far?
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. Father Frank A. Pavone, director of Gospel of Life Ministries, is an internationally known pro-life activist, speaker, and author. He has been the national director of Priests for Life since 1993 and appears regularly in the religious and secular media. He has served at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for the Family. He has been a spiritual guide for Norma McCorvey, the former Jane Roe of the Supreme Court's abortion decision, Roe v. Wade. Father Frank is president of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, an umbrella group of many denominations working to end abortion. Father Frank is also the national pastoral director and board chairman of Rachel's Vineyard, the world's largest ministry of healing after abortion. Father Frank is a Catholic priest of the Diocese of Amarillo, Texas, and carries out his pro-life mission with the permission of his bishop. For more information on Father Frank and Priests for Life, visit www.priestsforlife.org. Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.